Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. The regular season is over, and we know what the bowl destinations are. Joining me is Kyle Porter. But Kyle, before we get started, I got to play something for you. Hang on one second. Sugar Bowl! No Orlando for Carson. I don't have to go to that terrible Russell Wilson sweatpants bowl. Let's hear some more. Oh, that felt good, Kyle.
Okay, I've got something for you, too.
Oh, you got tricks, too?
Yeah, we're queued up. Here we go.
All the live long day. Eyes of Texas.
I wrote a total takedown of Texas after Oklahoma State beat them in September. And I have to admit, I threw on my Kevin Durant throwback T-shirt that our buddy Quade got me a couple years ago, and I was rooting as hard as possible for the Horns on Saturday against Baylor.
Where were you watching it at?
Well, here's the thing. So Mrs. Pistols, my wife, not a real name, took a girls' trip with some friends over the weekend. So I had the kids all weekend.
Okay.
And that was tough. So what happened was it starts and I'm like, whatever. Baylor's, you know, they're a 20-point favorite. This isn't going to be close. So I take them to see Inside Out at the Dollar Theater. Have you seen that, by the way?
I'm out on the kids animated. Is that an animated movie?
Yeah, it's a Pixar. It's like same company that did
I hear those are great. I loved Up. That's like the last one I ever saw.
It's a lot like that. It's amazing. Very good.
It's tricky how they do that, because like those are like actually like good movies for adults. So like they take care of you, because you know you have to take your kids, but they're also, I guess, worth watching.
Yeah, the people that work at Pixar are geniuses. But anyway, so I'm there. I'm getting update. I'm getting texts from you. I'm holding my kids because the seats were too low for them to see the movie. So I'm holding them. I've got my phone in one hand behind them, trying to check the Texas Baylor score. We rush home afterwards, and I'm able to catch the end of the fourth quarter. I thought Texas was going to blow it at the end.
I did too. Do you want to know where I was watching the game at?
Tell me.
This was just bizarre. Channel 5 had me go to the Penn Square Mall on a Saturday. It was an absolute zoo. I mean, we parked in like the grass because Russell Westbrook was doing an event where he released like his new version of the Jordans. And it was a really cool deal. He did like a Q&A. Like I got to interview him basically one-on-one. It was awesome. But I'm waiting for, like, I got to watch the first half. I saw Texas go up and I'm like, great, I don't get to watch the second half. So I'm at the mall. I'm in this like Foot Locker with like rap music. There's like a DJ and a rap music's blaring. I can't hear. I pull up ESPN3 on my phone, the Watch ESPN app, which is just incredible, by the way.
Yes.
And I'm watching it all go down. And like at one point, you know, Baylor got that flag for intentional grounding. And the rap music is so loud, I can't hear who the flag's on. So I like put the phone up to my ear, and then everything else happens, and Texas ends up winning. And I think I was the only person in the mall who cared. It was kind of a surreal afternoon for me.
Well, we were both topped by Mike Gundy, who was getting corn dogs at the time the end of the game was going down. So
in Ripley, America.
Yeah, that was, you were there for that. You're probably asking some of the questions for that interview. How good was he talking about Baylor, Texas, about the Sugar Bowl and everything?
It was awesome. I was up there. I was the one that actually asked him that question. I normally don't ask questions to Mike in like press conference settings, because I'm usually in the back and I'm usually behind a giant camera, and it's tough for him to even see where the question's coming from. So I normally don't ask questions. But for this one, I was front and center, and no one seemed real eager to ask questions, so I just started firing him off, and I asked him where he was, and he gave that great answer. He went to go, isn't that the most Mike Gundy quote ever? He went to go get two corn dogs at the gas station, and then his phone started dinging, as he said. And it was just a great response.
He really literally was. Made $40,000 from the time he got to his son to the tournament that his kid was playing in, until he got to the gas station, because of the bowl incentives, the way his contract works. And he can't even figure out how his phone works. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, the service, I guess, was terrible, and it picked back up at the gas station. But yeah, it's just it's so great for OSU because they've had such terrible bowl luck over the years. I think back to that horrible Heart of Dallas fiasco where they won 8 games and went to probably maybe the worst bowl game of them all. The Heart of Dallas Bowl was a joke.
It was a poor man's Cotton Bowl.
It was like a homeless man who's on his last legs and is under the overpass Cotton Bowl. Like this thing, it was raining. There was no one there. The state fair was empty.
Well, had they already,
and they played Purdue.
Yeah, that was the worst part. Had they already moved the Cotton Bowl into Jerry World?
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl wasn't even in the Cotton Bowl at that point.
Because that was 2012. Yeah. I guess they moved it a couple years.
Well, and the worst part, I think that year OU was in the Cotton Bowl, and like the Big Bowl. So like I went down there early to cover the Heart of Dallas Bowl, and I swapped out with Brian Keating. He went and covered the Great Cotton Bowl with all the amenities, all the tricks, and all the treats you get it for being in the media. And I had to drive home after watching Purdue.
What kind of tricks and treats do you get from being?
Oh, dude, Cotton Bowl is up there with like, Cotton Bowl might be the best as far as like media hospitality. They have this like an entire like 3 ballrooms like all put together. It's like this giant room full of like free booze, free drinks, free trinkets. Like they give you all these gifts and stuff. Like you get like portable cell phone chargers and stuff like that.
The reason I ask is because I'm covering the Cotton Bowl this
year. Oh, dude, you better get ready. Like, you need to, like, leave Mrs. Pistols with the kids and just hang out in the media hospitality room.
But is this a day of awesome thing, or is it?
It's, like, goes on, like, for, like, days before the game. Like, day of the game is when everything kind of shuts down. It's just about the game. But, like, the 3 or 4 days leading up to it is when all the they had, like, a Kelly Clarkson concert the day before the Cotton Bowl when OU was in it.
Wow.
Which I know you're all about, right? You listen to Taylor Swift. So
yeah.
You gotta love Taylor
Clarkson. I'm into Adele right now. But
oh, no.
Did you see the stat? David Ubbin tweeted this out. I just am bringing this up before I forget it. Big 12 team Big 12 teams playing games in Cowboys Stadium, 0-13.
I saw it and I couldn't believe it.
That's
like, how is that possible?
Well, but then I started thinking back. You had Oklahoma State lost to Florida State. Oklahoma State lost to Missouri. OU lost to BYU. Or was it BYU?
Yeah, Bradford got hurt.
Yeah, when Bradford got hurt.
OU or OSU lost to Ole Miss in 2010 Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, that was one of the first. That might have been the first Cotton Bowl in the new stadium.
Yeah, I think it was.
But then you've had. Well, I guess Baylor and Tech have played some actual conference games in there, and so obviously you had a winner there. But yeah, non-conference Big 12 games, 0-13. So I guess that's good news for OU to be playing in Miami against Clemson.
Yeah, it's great news because they historically have played well in Miami too. But I want to go back to that Gundy interview. Did you hear him call Taylor Cornelius Cornelson?
So. Clint Davison, who is has been contributing to Pistols firing, he's the guy that sort of breaks down Mike Gundy's press conferences, pulls quotes, takes notes on it, whatever. He wrote that, and he noted that it was like the second or third time this year that Gundy has done that.
Yeah,
like he might not know the oil baron's real name.
Just call him the oil baron. And the best part, too, I think someone's told him not to call the players by their numbers because he was talking about injuries. He's like 44 and 47 should be able to go. I mean, Seton and Jarwin should, like, he corrected himself. So I think he would prefer to call Cornelius his number, but I think someone's told him not to. I think it's kind of throwing him off.
Yeah, it's probably not great for recruiting when guys are like, no, you're literally just a number here. That's what our coach calls you. You're not a name. You are literally a number.
The best is when he called Sam Bradford 14. He had won the Heisman. He's like, 14 from OU is pretty good.
Yeah, 14 can sling it a little bit.
Speaking of, like, the Gundy interview was before their banquet, so all the players were there. And I forgot Markell Martin, I guess, is a GA now with OSU.
He came back, I think it was last year maybe. Or was it this
so.
Year?
Last year or this year, it's recent, but I thought it was so appropriate. I saw him walk by. Remember the 2010, since they're playing Ole Miss, I'm getting all these Ole Miss flashbacks.
Did you just hand him a picture of Jevon Snead?
No, but I wanted to pull it up on my phone and be like, dude, just tell me more about this. Just what was going through your mind. Because it was maybe the biggest hit I've ever seen. I mean, it's still up there. But it's the memorial. I'm glad I saw Markel Martin, because that hit he had against Jevin Snead, it's on YouTube. I tweeted it out. Go find it.
Yeah,
it is memorable to this day. I remember where I was when I saw it.
I remember where I was when I saw it, too. Because I think it was Lucien Antoine that got the pick.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is that one of the best names ever for a football player? Lucien Antoine?
And his nickname was The Punisher?
Yeah, like, that's
people
insane.
Called him that? Like, it wasn't like a, you know, just a funny nickname. Like, people called him The Punisher.
Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, and I think Markel Martin had a really big hit in the Fiesta Bowl, too, against Stanford.
I'm sure he had a big hit in just about every game he played. He was awesome.
But yeah, that hit is insane. I mean, it is just crazy. Like,
the best part is Pat Summerall was calling that game, and I watched the YouTube clip when I posted it, and they show the replay, and Pat Summerall just goes, oh my God. Like, he knew right away that was not good, but it was kind of funny that I saw Markel. That's the first thing I thought of.
Well, how do you feel about Oklahoma State playing Ole Miss in a bowl game? Because this is the third time in, 11 years, 12 years, I guess, that they will have played Ole Miss, because they had the 04 Cotton, the 10, or 09, I guess it was 2010, the year Cotton, and now this year, 2016 Sugar Bowl. Are we getting tired of it, or is it a good thing?
I like it. It's fun, you know, playing the SEC. And Ole Miss has a great fan base. It's just a fun matchup. Where were you in 04? Were you in college when they played Eli Manning?
I think
we had just gotten there.
I was a freshman, but I wasn't going to Oklahoma State yet. I was playing baseball at a Division III school. And I remember being home for Christmas break, and I specifically remember that was the most, I think that was the most mad I ever was about an Oklahoma State loss. And I don't know why. Like, I guess I didn't like Eli Manning, and I really liked that 03 Oklahoma State team. And I don't know. I just remember being, like, really just pissed about it.
Well, it was the first time OSU was, like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, probably in your lifetime. Like, yeah, they won in the 90s when OU was down. But, like, that was the first time they were in, a legit bowl with a legit team. And they were up in that game and found a way to lose. But I didn't go to the game. I was in college at OSU, and the reason I have a lot of regrets, Kyle. The reason I didn't go was you had to get in line at the stadium. Like, you'd stay the night in a tent or something. Like, everyone was camping out. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So I didn't even go, which I should have just done it. I don't know what I was thinking, but
yeah, that was when being at the Cotton, the actual Cotton Bowl, the physical location was a big deal still.
Yeah. And I remember that's the first time I've ever seen a quarterback beat a team with his mind. Like, Eli Manning went to the line, audible to every single play, and audible to every single time into the right play. It was incredible. But
he was awesome. I remember Rashawn had 220 in the second half, and Oklahoma State still got beat.
Yeah, the game was closer than I remembered. I went back and pulled up some footage of it. OSU lost by 3, and it's like OSU just remembered in the second half, oh, yeah, we can just, throw it up to Rashawn. And he got it, every time. It was incredible. But as far as this year, I don't feel great about the matchup for OSU. They were out-athleted pretty severely against Baylor and Oklahoma, and Ole Miss has recruited like Baylor in Oklahoma lately, so they might be out-athleted again.
I was thinking during the SEC title game, which I watched and was kind of terrible but kind of fun, you know how everybody says we want Bama? Well, I don't think we want Bama, but we got the team that beat Bama in Tuscaloosa. And I think you're right about the and somebody I was reading this thing on ESPN today about how this is really sort of the end of the road for the Laquon Treadwell class, not because they're seniors, I think they're juniors now, but because a lot of them are going to the NFL, and that was probably it was the best recruiting class in Ole Miss history, and one of the best in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, in college football. I think they were the number one recruiting class in the country that year. And you're right, they got athletes, and you know, I think that it's certainly a good thing for Oklahoma State if Rudolph's going to be able to go like Gundy thinks, because you put Walsh back there with that, you know, Ole Miss defensive line coming at him. And I mean, he can run around a little bit, but I don't know if it's going to be very pretty.
Yeah, they have that Kim Dichi guy. I don't know how to say his name, but yeah, he's one of the best players on their team. But that can go one of two ways, though, having those guys basically be their last game. They're, like you said, they're juniors. They're looking to the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe they're looking towards the draft and not focused on the game, but we'll see. But I don't like the matchup for OSU, and I think they're underdogs for like 3 or 4 points maybe.
I think it's like 6.
Oh, it's gone up then.
My only like, I'm elated about the Sugar Bowl. It's awesome. It's a great thing. I wish they'd gotten, and this is, you know, can't help this, but I wish they'd gotten LSU. Because yeah, just the Gundy and Les thing, it hasn't happened in a bowl game, even though there's been sort of, I mean, it could have happened for the title a couple years, or in 2011. But I just think that storyline, being in New Orleans, LSU can't pass. I think you can beat them. So, obviously LSU wasn't good enough to make it, but I wish it would have been them.
Well, you take it a step further. I mean, I wish it would have been Florida. I mean, look how terrible they looked against.
Yeah.
You know, they're so bad on offense. Now, they have a really good defense. That's true. But, and I actually had a super hot take that I didn't think that was that hot, was that I thought, like, leading up to it, when it looked like OSU was going to go to the Alamo, I thought they had a better chance of winning the Sugar Bowl than the Alamo, because they would have played Oregon in the Alamo, and they would have played Florida in the Sugar at one time.
Yeah.
Which, that matchup's way better playing Florida than it is Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, it's just kind of way the matchups fell. And, yeah, Ole Miss is better than Florida.
Yeah.
So,
how did Ole Miss lose to Memphis?
I'm not sure. I didn't get to watch a lot of them this year. I only watched them beat Alabama.
Yeah.
It's the only game I watched. But do you think Rudolph's going to play? I know Gundy told – I was the one that asked him about Rudolph, and he said, yeah, I think he'll play, but I don't know.
Well, I was breaking down that Trevor Knight, Mason Rudolph photo from Fuzzies in Stillwater, like it was the Zapruder film or something. And
how'd the boot look?
Well, that's what I was wondering, because Gundy was so weird about it. He said, like – you might have asked him this, but he said, well – He basically said he didn't have surgery. He had a procedure.
He had a procedure.
And it's like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, define surgery for me then, because...
And he said his injury isn't as bad as severe as guys with the same type of injury. So it leads me to believe he has kind of like a Jones fracture type injury, but it's not as bad as like Kevin Durant's, to where he has to have, you know... They might have just put a screw in it, not like, you know, the full... I don't remember how the whole surgery went with Kevin, but I think it's a foot injury, but not quite like a Jones fracture like Dez had, where... Or maybe it's more like Dez's. Dez came back, what, in 6 weeks? 5 weeks?
Well, but so did they stick a metal rod in it or not?
I mean, like, I don't know.
I mean, I just feel like the definition of surgery... It's like being pregnant. Like, you're either pregnant or you're not.
Like, well, procedure to me means surgery. I mean,
yeah, I know. Like, I just was.
I don't know how else you can describe that. A procedure is a surgery.
I was flummoxed by his unwillingness to define it as a surgery, which, you know.
Well, and Gundy said he got a C in biology. He's not a doctor.
He didn't get a C in biology.
He didn't have to take biology.
No. That was back when, like, it was, the funny part about that whole Sports Illustrated thing is I feel like nowadays, everything's more on the up and up than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Pat Jones would have pulled him out of biology so fast. But Mike, you're gonna go take golf, Mike. Sorry.
The Matt Leinart.
I took golf my senior year.
Did you really?
At OSU. Yeah, I had like an extra semester where I just took like 12 hours. I needed to fill some time. So I took some golf. I think Whedon took golf too.
Yeah.
When he was a senior.
Did they let you play Karsten?
No. We just went to the Muni.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Yeah. Now, have you played Karsten, by the way?
I've played it several times.
Oh, yeah, for the media.
The media deal, yeah. I played it this year, and Kyle, I'd been playing all summer. No one wants to hear about my golf game, but I've been playing all...
This is like fantasy football stories.
I know, I'm sorry. I've been playing golf all summer, hitting it, had my record score, broke 90, shot low 80s most of the summer. I get out to Karsten Creek, and I get the shanks. Like 10 cup style, like embarrassingly bad. I was playing with like Hammerschmidt, the safeties coach, and I could tell he was getting a little aggravated that I wasn't helping the team. But no, Carson Creek is a behemoth.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've actually not played it, but my dad's been out there and he said it's just you have to, like, not only do you have to be like super long, but you have to hit it straight also. Like, it's just not great for people like us.
No, it's, if you don't hit the fairway, you're done.
I did want to ask you, what's your favorite? I posted about this yesterday, but Big 12's got some just awesome bowl matchups. And should we just go through them all? Do you want to go through them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll start now. We can talk about OU Clemson. I think OU's going to win. Like, and here's the thing that everybody's ignoring. Like, if you're Clemson and you're 13-0 and you kind of squeaked by North Carolina, we can talk about that awful call, offsides call on the onside kick if we want. But it's so difficult to win. I mean, as we saw all year with Ohio State, with Oklahoma State, with Michigan State, it's so difficult to win 12, 13, 14, 15 games in a row. And they've done it, and there's sort of that. It's almost better if you're like an OU where you lost one, and you're like, well, whatever, we got nothing to lose. Like, let's just go out and play. And maybe that's different because you're in the playoff now and the stakes are the same. But it feels like Clemson's good, but they're not 14-0 great, if that makes sense. And I just feel like OU can beat them.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Clemson's been tested nearly as much as OU has. Like, and I like your analogy on the undefeated aspect. It's almost like you're holding your breath when you're undefeated. Like that 2011 OSU team, man. Like, yeah, they were winning, and yeah, they were confident. But man, as they got later in the season, it just felt like the weight of that just got heavier and heavier and heavier. And I think that played a part in how they played in Ames. I really do. And I think OU will win. I think they're the favorite at this point.
Yeah.
But I think they got the worst matchup. I really do. I think they match up better with Alabama than they do Clemson.
Really?
I do. And I think they match up well with everybody, obviously. I think they're the best team. But I feel like Alabama is one-dimensional. Yeah, that one dimension is like the comic book character Juggernaut who just runs over everybody. But I feel like OU could outscore Alabama. I really do. And Clemson is really good. Like, they have athletes everywhere. They've recruited in the top five every year. They've won like their top five in wins over the past 5 years. So Clemson has been a legit program, and I think it'll be a great game. But if you're OU, I think I would rather would have played Michigan State, obviously. And I think I would have rather played Alabama. Now, I do think OU will win, but I don't think their draw was that great.
Yeah.
Throw in the fact Clemson's been to Miami like two or three out of the last like 4 or 5 years. Their entire fan base will be there. I know OU travels as well as anybody. They travel like Alabama. But I still think it'll be more Clemson fans too.
I agree with you about Bama. I tweeted this during the SEC title game. I said, OU's going to house Alabama. Like, Alabama can't score. And
their quarterback's terrible.
Yeah. Like,
OU's defense will pick him off two or three times.
Yeah, but I don't know. I still think, I don't know if OU will win it, but I think they're going to be playing the final game of the season on January 11th or 10th or whenever it is.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll be there. I actually am going to New Orleans. They're sending Brian Keating to Miami. I'm going to New Orleans. So I will be on Bourbon Street for New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
That might be our last podcast.
we might need you to do a live pod from Bourbon Street.
Yeah, that would be not safe for work, I don't think.
Okay, so Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, we already talked about. TC, Oregon, all the colors. Can we get a purple on green matchup, please?
Can they just like mix and match their uniforms together? Like, TCU could wear like an Oregon pant with the purple helmet. Just mix them together and have fun.
It really is.
They're like the same team, aren't they?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Vernon Adams, Trayvon Boykin.
Yeah, I think Boykin's better, but it's a fun game. It really is. And I think the line reflects that. TCU's favored by one. And they'd probably be favored by more if they had Josh Dotson. But I don't know. That's a great Alamo Bowl. I love that. I think that's a fun game. I don't watch that many bowl games, but I'm going to watch that one.
That's spectacular. That's one of my favorite matchups of the whole bowl season.
Yeah, I agree. Baylor, North Carolina, and the Russell Wilson Sweatpants Bowl.
The AKA the Letdown Bowl.
Yeah.
Both those teams did not plan on being there.
Yeah, well, North Carolina was playing to maybe get in the playoff, although probably not. And then Baylor was playing They were a 20-point favorite to go to the Sugar Bowl, so
not great. How would you have reacted if you were Larry Fedora and that call went against you and you saw a replay? I may have clotheslined a referee. I may be banned from NCAA football. I could not be a head coach. Like, not only were they not offsides on that onside, they were like 2 or 3 yards back. Like, they were like overly cautious about not being offside.
Well, it's really difficult because at that point, you're at a point in the game where it's over, right? Like that call either ends the game or you have whatever it was, 40 seconds to go try to score. And so if it's in the second quarter, you have to stay in it. You have to keep your head or whatever. But at that point, I mean, it's just scorched earth, right? Like, the only thing you're worried about is getting suspended for the bowl game or whatever that you don't care about. So,
and you're instantly a hero for your fans. I
would have lost.
Fedora just signed a 7-year deal. He's like, YOLO, I can go clothesline a ref.
That it was so bad. I mean, it was really, really bad.
And I guess Stidham will be able to play in that game. They think Stidham will be back. But yeah. if you're Art Briles, like, you have no one else to blame but yourself. Like, you don't have a backup quarterback and you're running Chris Johnson like they are. I know it's part of their offense, but at a certain point, you can't do it. Like, if you have something called a Lynx Hawthorne backing up Chris Johnson, you can't do it. By the way, Lynx Gunner Hawthorne, is that the worst name you've ever heard?
I mean, it's crazy. It sounds like he's like a sideshow at the fair.
His brother's name Bricks with two X's.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we talked about Bro Dallas names. That's like Bro Dallas name, well, drugs.
It's actually, it's so bro that it's like, what's the name for guys that you, based on their name, you're not sure if they're white or black? This was a Bill Simmons thing.
The Reggie Cleveland All-Stars?
Yeah. And I thought that, I mean, I should have known this, but I thought that Lynx Hawthorne was black. And then I did too. And then he goes in and I'm like, oh.
I also thought it was a pop singer. thought it was like some wannabe Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's
but Art Briles has no one else to blame but himself, right? Yeah,
but consider this. Okay. I was thinking about this during that game. What's worse for Charlie Strong and the Texas program? Like, what's a bigger indictment? That they were a 20-point underdog to Baylor's third-string quarterback, or that Baylor's fifth-string quarterback almost came back and beat them when they had the game in hand?
If they lost that game, I think you have to call for Charlie to resign. Like, because that was strictly coaching. They were running a single-wing offense.
Yeah.
Like, it was the most simple offense, and they were still, like, playing their safeties back. It was just a nightmare.
So you think it's a bigger indictment that they almost blew the game?
Yeah, I think way bigger.
Yeah.
Because that was just such a simple, simple thing, and they almost botched it.
Yeah.
It was awful. I was glad I was at the mall and could hardly watch, because that was probably a tough watch. Like, Gundy said it was, like, almost a better thing that he was in Ripley and couldn't see the game.
Okay, LSU Texas Tech over under 999.5 yards rushing for Leonard Fournette.
Over, all the over. This might be my favorite bowl, even though it's a crappy bowl. This might be my favorite Big 12 matchup.
It's crazy. I mean,
because I think Fournette's gonna run all over them, but I think Tech's gonna give LSU all they want on offense.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, Cliff's just gonna be like 50 pages deep into the playbook.
Cliff might wear a tank top to this game. He might rock the frog skin shades with a tank top and just bro it out.
But here's the thing. Tech gave up like 300 yards to Oklahoma State's rushing attack. It wasn't 300 yards, but they gave up a lot.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma State was playing its fourth string running back at the time and second string quarterback, and they made it look easy. Leonard Fournette is going to destroy people. I mean, it's going to be just gross.
Tech made Chris Warren look like Ricky Williams when they played Texas.
Yeah.
It's a bad matchup. And honestly, almost all these matchups are bad for the Big 12. Aren't they underdogs in every game except OU?
Yeah, they are.
It's a bad matchup, but it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to see less like go cross-eyed seeing a shotgun, seeing a spread offense.
West Virginia plays Arizona State. Is Dana Holgorsen coaching for his job?
I think so, man. You posted that article on your Daily Bullets, man. It sounds like the pressure's heating up. And the problem with him is in West Virginia is they, you know, they compare Dana's record to like previous West Virginia coaches. Well, it's not the same. He's playing in the Big 12, a much better conference than anything you guys, the Big East.
Yeah.
Dana won 10 games his first season because you're playing in the Big East. It's just, it's apples and oranges, and that's kind of something he's having to fight against. But if they fire him, he's out of work about 5 minutes because he'll be a top offensive coordinator candidate. If Tulane hires Mike Yurcich, how quickly does Gundy ring up Dana?
Don't think I haven't been plotting that blog post. It's just going to be like 50 like elated GIFs just in a row. Like, I'm just out of my mind.
Do you think Gundy would do it? I don't think Dana would do it. I don't think Gundy would do it.
No, I don't. I think Gundy hiring Dana in 2010 was transactional on both sides.
You think Holder like slipped him his business card?
Well,
call Dana.
I don't know if Holder was involved, but Gundy knew he needed to make something happen, and he knew he had Whedon, and it worked out, and Holgorsen knew that he had Whedon, I guess, and kind of said, hey, this is a jumping off point, and I think both sides knew it, and that was fine. Like, it worked great.
Yeah, I just I worry about Dana's future at West Virginia, but
I worry about Dana's future at another school in the Big 12 as an offensive coordinator.
What if Texas just throws all the money at him?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, if Arizona State goes up like 3 touchdowns on West Virginia, Charlie Strong should just start running to Morgantown. Like, just
in his turtleneck long sleeve shirt that, like, he will wear in 100-degree heat. What's up? Charlie Strong has to have tattoos, doesn't he?
Well, that's the rumor about Art Briles. Have you heard that? I think I told
you. Yeah, because he never wears short sleeves either. Both of them have like ridiculous tattoos.
I heard a rumor that Briles has a Tech tattoo.
That would make sense. Isn't that where he went to school?
I think he at least coached there. Maybe he played there too.
I don't recall. I think he might have played at Houston actually.
Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about.
But yeah, Charlie needs to fly in on a chopper.
Yeah,
and just throw down like a ladder to Dana and climb up.
But is Texas really going to hire Sonny Cumbie?
I guess. Well, like, shouldn't you hire Meacham?
Yeah, like what are you? By the way, Sonny Cumbie, not aged well. I know you kind of defended him, but man.
Wasn't he like old in college though? So maybe he's aged appropriately.
I don't know. I think
he was an older guy in college.
He was my least favorite of all the Tech quarterbacks.
Oh no. It's what was his name? The Hodges? No. Oh God.
Merrill Hodges?
No. He was like the worst of them all, but he put up like the best numbers.
Cody Hodges?
No.
Well, look it up, and I'll talk about Arkansas-Kansas State.
Okay, I'm looking it up now. Go ahead.
Arkansas is favored by 11.5, and like does Bielema have any regard for Bill Snyder? Like, won't Bielema just like run it up on him if he gets the chance?
Yes, and I think Bill Snyder will like poke his finger at him at the handshake. B.J. Simmons. B.J. Simmons was my least favorite.
He was number two, I think. I think B.J. Simmons only played like 1 year there.
One or two. He played 1, 2, 3. He's 4 year letterman. It doesn't say how many years he started.
And I'm pretty sure he was the quarterback during, by played. I mean,
single game record with 660 yards against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the guy that played in that crazy 2003 game that Oklahoma State won 51-49.
Yeah.
I might be wrong about that, but
I think that was Harrell.
Was it?
Wait, 03 game?
03. Oklahoma State won 51-49.
Yeah, he was the quarterback in 03, yeah. So that's right.
B.J. Simmons was?
Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, I hate it.
He threw for 5,800 yards
that
season.
It was insane.
I hated him the most.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, not Cumbie. You're right.
Yeah, B.J. Simmons.
Yeah, the worst. I wonder what he's doing.
Coaching East Texas high school football, probably, I guess.
Okay, so we've gone through the Big 12 bowls. Do we want to talk about Mike Yurcich going to Tulane?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a possibility.
But how much of this is predicated upon the last three offensive coordinators that Oklahoma State's had are all having successful seasons?
I think mostly that, but two, like OSU has just built this reputation of high, like if you watch these national shows, you can tell they don't watch OSU week to week. They're like, well, OSU has this high powered offense. And they were saying that like when they were playing like Central Michigan and like when they were struggling in the non-conference,
right.
They're like, oh, OSU has this high powered offense. Well, they've just built up this reputation. So when schools are looking around for coaches, like, oh, OSU's, and then they look at the stats this year, they're like, oh, well, there's high powered offense. Let's go hire their coordinator. I'm sure
yeah.
he's good.
Yeah.
And they, I'm not, do they even realize he just came from Shippensburg? I don't know.
Well, and my question, and this is not like I've come to appreciate Yurcich for what he is. I think he cares. I think he's a good dude, whatever. Does he interview well? He doesn't seem like he would interview well.
Doesn't seem like to me he would. He has zero charisma with the media. I don't know how, he might be different behind closed doors. I don't know, but I've yet to see any, you know, like when I interviewed Larry Fedora, man, when he was the offensive coordinator, I could tell that guy was a star.
Yeah.
I could tell he was going to be really good. Same with Dana.
Yeah.
Actually, Dana was just like a lot of fun to talk to, but Fedora, I could tell, was like a head coach.
Right.
I see a lot of that in Glenn Spencer, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you see Dan Bailey last night?
Yeah, I didn't watch it live, but I posted on it this morning. It was it's pretty awesome.
He is the best kicker I've ever seen.
He's
like by far.
There's a good argument to be made that he's the best kicker in NFL history.
I mean, just go ahead and like start making the Hall of Fame bust. He'll be in the Dallas Ring of Honor for sure. But I think he might be going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, all he needs now is just a few more bigger moments like he had last night.
Yeah, I mean,
he's so good. It's dead down the middle every time.
Well, he needs to do it. He needs to do it in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, they haven't really.
It's not his fault, but yeah.
No, it's not. But I mean, kickers. It's like I don't know. Like you think about Adam Vinatieri and just all these playoff moments. I feel like that's a big deal.
He needs to change his name to Dan Down the Middle Bailey. It's where it goes every single time.
Did you think that was a worse game than the Big Ten title game?
I tweeted, was this the Big Ten or is this Monday Night Football or Big Ten football?
Yeah.
And I have a take on Iowa, Kyle.
Oh, boy.
I'm ready to bury the hatchet.
Okay.
I never had a problem with their football team, their fans, none of that. It had more to do with their schedule and the fact they didn't have to play. It reminded me a lot of like Kansas and Missouri when they didn't have to. Like Kansas, when they made the Orange Bowl, they didn't play anybody from the Big 12. They didn't play the top three teams and they made the Orange Bowl. I didn't like that. So it had more to do with that, and they impressed me against Michigan State. Yeah, it was a soccer game. It was a lot of field goals. It was boring as hell, but Iowa's tough, man. They're tough as nails, and I'm glad they got the Rose Bowl over Ohio State. So I've come a long way with the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I'm glad they got the Rose Bowl over Ohio State too. Ohio State did nothing this year. Nothing.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan.
At least Iowa, you know, won all their games.
Yeah.
But I guess they lost the same two teams.
How about, by the way, speaking of championship weekend, how about Baker Mayfield not being invited to New York?
I predicted he wouldn't on TV.
That's
because
crazy, isn't it?
Well, not being in the championship weekend just killed him because McCaffrey went off, Henry went off, Watson went off. Like, it just killed him. And I think, too, he was already, like, in third or fourth before that. But not playing on championship weekend. He was just out of sight, out of mind. I mean, I watched the whole 3-hour, 4-hour special on ESPN for the playoffs. They do an entire segment on the Heismans, and they do those three guys that made it. And, like, Herbstreit comes back on camera and is like, now, wait a minute. Like, Baker Mayfield's been good, too. And before anyone can say anything, Joey Galloway interrupts him and says, yeah, and Keenan Reynolds from Navy's been really good, too. It's like, what?
Get Joey Galloway out of here.
He never came up. You can tell he hates the Big 12. Can you not?
I think it's true. I think it's true.
I hate to get you out on a sad note, but one last thing.
Yeah, I know what you're going to bring up.
More OU fans in Gallagher-Iba for Bedlam basketball game than OSU fans?
Yeah.
I say yes.
I saw that OU moved to number one in Ken Palm's standings, which might mean that we need to has anybody checked on OKC Dave?
I'm sure he's crunching the numbers now to see like how far down's OSU in the Ken Palm, like 200.
Well, he actually texted me the other day and said I think he said something along the lines of, to me the greatest indictment of Travis Ford is that I have to scroll multiple times to get to Oklahoma State on KenPalm.com. And it's, I mean, that's part of it for sure.
A bigger indictment is Barry Trammell said this on radio, and I agree with him. He goes, you know, the bigger indictment for OSU basketball, I didn't even know they were playing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's come to. You don't even know they're on.
And you told me that you had a few giggles at the expense of William Woods, which is a...
The NAIA win for
the only win that Missouri State had coming into Gallagher Iba on Saturday, and an all girls school until 1993.
Those tweets you posted. Well, in fairness, 1-on-5 is not a fair fight for William Woods.
And the long lost Woods brother.
The long lost Woods brother. The fourth, the long lost Rashawn's little bro. it's going to be a long year for basketball, and I don't know how you can't just eat the buyout.
You have to, but there's no chance that Ford gets fired during the season, is there?
I was wondering that. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know where OSU's at with that.
I mean,
it's almost to the point he might just resign. I mean, they're gonna finish like last in the Big 12.
Yeah, he can't resign though because you gotta live that buyout life after.
Yeah,
after
that's true.
Done.
There's zero chance of him resigning.
But. Yeah.
It's going to be embarrassing. I know that.
Yeah, and I don't think that they'll fire him midseason because they went to the tournament last year, and also because he's been without Forte and just what are you accomplishing if you do that? I mean,
yeah, if you're Forte, don't you like want a redshirt and like not even play this year?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a clause in the redshirt that say that you it has to be like season ending or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not hard to get around.
Well, and it's just like, you know, last year you could kind of say, well, they made the tournament, so you can't get rid of them. You know, you can't eat the buyout. Well, when there's 1,000 fans at the game and you're dead last in the Big 12 and it's 8 years into the reign, I mean, what do you have? It's just, I mean, everyone knows what the deal is, but it's just, I mean, they're going to finish last in the Big 12. And it reminds me, you know, you can say Forte's out. Well, when you're relying on Phil Forte to be your entire team, you've already lost. It reminds me of the year they had Keaton Page just running off 5 screens and shooting 30 times a game. Like, that was your whole team.
Did you hear that? Have you listened to the Bill Simmons' Cousin Sal podcast from Monday yet?
I was listening to it when you called. I haven't finished it yet.
Cousin Sal noted that he put money on Oklahoma State basketball on Saturday.
He said he did?
Yeah, he admitted to it.
Man, all he had to do is give us a call.
Well, I don't understand like how that even happens. Like how do you like where are you at in life if you're putting money on Missouri State, Oklahoma State basketball on championship Saturday of college football? Like I get it if it's like a bad Oklahoma State team against Kansas on like a big Monday or whatever, but
yeah, that's so random.
It was, I couldn't believe I heard it.
Well, Cousin Sal also parlayed Ronda Rousey with like the Patriots when Ronda Rousey got knocked out. So his betting streak's not going too hot right now.
Yeah, it was, I almost tweeted at him just to say, bro, you should have asked us. Like
you should have, you should have.
I'll do that. I'll do that after we're done here. Okay, well, we've got the Sugar Bowl to look forward to. I'm sure we'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks. Try to have a guest on Thursday. And okay.
We sure we can't get you to New Orleans?
Maybe
you
we
gotta
can.
You gotta be in Dallas?
Yeah, I gotta be in Dallas because I'm covering the Cotton Bowl the day before.
That's right.
And we're kinda on baby watch, so if my wife goes into labor.
Another one on the way, huh?
Yeah, January 6th.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You get a call at halftime of the Sugar Bowl. You know, you gotta go into labor, you can't watch the OSU game. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great. I might the place where she's giving birth is about a mile away, so
okay.
I might I don't know what I would do.
Well, I speak from experience, man. The Watch ESPN app comes through like a charm, so
yeah.
Worst comes to worst, you can watch that in the waiting room, or if your wife's gracious enough in the delivery room.
How do you feel about? We don't know if it's a boy or a girl. How do you feel about Mike Tavius as a first name?
I joke that Mike Gundy should name his next born Mike Tavius, but it's a bold choice. Mike Tavius Porter. How about Pistols Porter? just go full Lynx Hawthorne with it. My, just name him Pistols.
My go-to for that is. I always joke that we're gonna name our kid James on. Like, I think that's the like the funniest one of all the Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
names.
With the capital O.
Yeah, just not Jameson. Like, I have a friend named Jameson, but just James on.
I think at one point I capitalized the O in Carson. It was Carson for a few days back in college.
You need to legally change that.
Yeah, I think I did it on Facebook like a week or two. Said this is ridiculous and changed it back.
That's the best thing I've heard all week. Okay, I got to go. We've got lunch. But yeah, I will talk to you later on this week, Carson.
All right, talk to you Thursday.
Okay.